time is 2:06. Currently overcast skies and 33 degrees. I am Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Between now and 4 o'clock, plenty on the plate. Coming up in just a few minutes at 2:15, we'll be joined by Nancy Stenzel, talk about a couple mining issues and also other news in the area and the state of Wisconsin. So Nancy Stenzel coming in here at 2:15 today. And then at 3:15, we'll wrap up the week a little bit lighter fare as we'll be joined by Paul Mickley. We'll talk some Wisconsin sports. It looks like the Badger men's basketball team not going to make the NCAA tournament this year. Got the Marquette Golden Eagles. In fact, Marquette on right here on Bull Falls Radio at 5 o'clock in the Big East Conference semifinals against UConn. Talk about that. Bucks, Brewers, Aaron Rodgers rumbles this week as well. So we'll talk some Wisconsin sports with Paul Mickley coming up at 3:15. Earlier today, I hope you were tuned in on the Todd Alba Show. I got a chance to spend a couple of segments with Todd at about 9:30. Talking about the story this week about the misinformation, the anti-Semitic flyers being put out in parts of Wausau earlier in the week. And talked to Todd about that issue in a little bit more, but I wanted to spend a little bit more time because yesterday, after my show ended, I was still here working afterwards, and we'd set up where I got a call from a listener and a Wausau resident who was part of the neighborhood that received this garbage. And he wanted to make sure, and he talked to other media outlets as well to make sure that this story is told because it really disturbed him. And I asked him to please make a copy of what was left at his home by somebody or some people that have nothing but hate in their hearts. So yesterday after 5 o'clock, after he got done with his work, he stopped by here at the radio station and gave me a copy of what was left. And it's disgusting. It is disgusting. And I talked about it on Todd's show, and I wanted to talk about it here a little to begin here today. And the hatred and the misinformation. And right now in our country, we are fighting so much of both of those, both the hatred and the misinformation. And when you try to blame one group of people for any problems that you have, whether there's any factual basis in it or not, is disturbing. And this story, I think, for whatever reason, is not getting out there the way it should. And when I talked to Todd, we mentioned the fact, how much do you talk about it? How much do you not talk about it? But if you have this misinformation put out there, and we've seen it in so many different ways in recent years, if you don't push back against misinformation, you don't push back against hatred and say this is not acceptable, it seeps into the bloodstream of the public. And we need to stand up as a community and say this is not acceptable. And the idea of people in the middle of the night putting on a ski mask, scurrying around a neighborhood and leaving this garbage for people to find in the morning is incredibly disturbing. And in seeing what it was, and I thank the listener who was able to come by and give me a copy of this, and basically, one sheet says, "Let's go, Brandon. Every single aspect of the Biden administration is Jewish. Every single aspect of the media is Jewish. Every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish. Every single aspect of the Federal Reserve is Jewish. Every single aspect of gun control is Jewish. Every single aspect of Disney child grooming is Jewish. Every single aspect of abortion is Jewish." Incredible filth and hatred. And then trying to use the name of Jesus Christ as part of this as well. This is poisoning faith, poisoning religion, poisoning the community. It needs to be pushed back against. And while I have a microphone and an opportunity to speak of this, I will push back against it. I would encourage everybody, if you're still on Twitter, I know there's reasons not to be, but one of the Twitter accounts I follow is the Auschwitz Memorial at Auschwitz Museum. And they put pictures and stories of the people that were murdered at Auschwitz. And just 11 minutes ago, they put a picture of a German Jewish woman named Stefania Anschel, born March 10th, this date, 1924, 99 years ago today. She arrived at Auschwitz on 4 February 1943 and did not survive. 19 years old, actually 18 years old. The idea that something like this only can happen in Germany but not here is a fallacy. It could happen here if people do not push back against this filth. And that's what we need to do. And it's filth, and it's sickening. And the idea of somebody in a ski mask passing that out in this city is disturbing. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk to Nancy Stensel coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio WXCO. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on this Friday afternoon. The time is 2:16. Some overcast skies. We've seen a flurry or two. We'll get an update from our meteorologist, Ray Miller, coming up at 3:06. well, we have 5-6 inches overnight. And now we're talking about another 6 to 12 inches coming up this weekend. So I'm going to hold that off for a while. We're going to try to have a smile here. It's always good to see Nancy Stensel come back into studio. Nancy, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you, too.
Absolutely. And there's a number of different things I want to talk to you about. But one thing that you're always keeping a close eye on is the mining issue. And I think that, boy, it's a difficult issue to stay ahead of. Because as you were telling me before we came on the air, the mining companies can be very subtle and quiet. And unless people are really paying attention, things can get done before anybody really knows about it. And it looks like they're continuing along that path, aren't they?
Very, very sneaky.
I guess sneaky is the better word for it.
Call it what it is. It's very sneaky, yes. You know, we continue to keep watch on the reef deposit here in Marathon County. And so far, well, as of last night when I checked it, nothing new was on there. And the Bend deposit up in Taylor County, the DNR has asked for additional information on that. So they did Greenlight Metals submitted a notice of intent to drill. And the DNR has wanted more information yet. And
Greenlight Metals, that's quite a name there, right? How about a little red light action here, right?
Yeah, like a real bright red light. And now what we're facing is we have been watching this for some time, but even unknown to us, we didn't realize they were that far ahead with this, is Copperwood up in the Porcupine Mountain area. Presque Isle. They have all their permits in. They are ready to go. We thought they had to wait for the Army Corps of Engineers to give them the green light on that one, but they might not even need that. And they want to open a copper mine, ship the raw ore across to the other side of the Porkies, and open up what was White Pine, a mine that was closed back in the late 1990s. They want to reopen that, and White Pine had significant damage that they had done to the environment. And what we're looking at is this is going to bookend the Porkies.
When you look at this as a whole, and and I was just saying this to you when I was thinking about some of these topics when we're going to talk about here today, is there is a responsibility for each of us to do the right thing when it comes to our environment and the standard of living for not just us, but for future generations. The idea that they spend all their time looking for any opportunity, and as you said, be a little sneaky about it to make sure they can try to sneak it in before anything happens. It's so important for what you're doing here, because I do think there is a responsibility, isn't there, that these companies don't seem to feel like they have.
It is about the water. It is. Currently, I'm studying the rights of nature under Guy Ryder Onaquet from the Menominee Nation. And what he is telling us, be it, you know, any body of water locally, Lake Superior, the Menominee River, that body of water has the same inherent rights as you or I, and it is up to us to speak for that river or that body of water.
And also, along and even taking it, you know, taking that umbrella a little wider, so often we hear politicians and those who turn from politicians to actual elected officials, and too many crazy ones have made that transition in recent years, talking about regulation or deregulation. And whenever we talk about the issue of mining, the goal, really, I think, for a lot of these mining companies is to have no rules, to ultimately get what they call deregulation. Let us open things up. I get really annoyed with folks who constantly talk about how regulation is bad, when regulation are what you live by, what I live by, what most everybody lives by. They're otherwise called rules.
Other than what they live by.
Right.
Tiffany's the biggest one.
Yes.
He is awful. He basically, he overturned our Prove It First law in this state years ago. And he outright let mining companies rewrite that rule in Wisconsin.
And how do you slow down mining companies if there are no rules?
It's pretty hard.
But that would lead, I think, to, obviously, desperate measures then would be put in, leading to a lot of trouble. I mean, again, I don't understand the idea of conservatives, this idea that there should be no rules for certain groups of people and then lots of rules for other people. And that's really what you see in terms of the implementation of a lot of the policies that are brought up from the right.
It has, really tied the hands of the DNR to even do anything. You know, they're doing everything they can. They're looking at every angle. And most of us that work on this also, you know, we send letters, emails, whatnot to the DNR, call them all the time saying, you know, make sure you're checking this. Make sure you're looking at this. You know, this isn't correct. They're telling you they're going to drill this. Well, you know, that isn't the right size. So, you know, it's up to us to help, too. They are so short-staffed.
What are your tools? Because you said you can write and send notes and emails to the DNR, but what other tools do you have? Because obviously you don't have the resources, and I use that term almost ironically, that the mining companies have in terms of greasing the skids, because you know what they do. I mean, I'm sure that you probably know better than anybody else how they use their resources to skid people like Tom Tiffany to open things up for them. What are your tools in terms of trying to slow it down?
My biggest tool is you. just bringing about that social awareness in any way, shape, and form we can, be it letters to the editor, be it, doing press releases on these kinds of things. We had a significant sign campaign and flyers that were sent out. I spend a lot of time talking with small groups just to get that message out. Tomorrow, so you better change your weather forecast because I need it to be good. I have to drive to Marquette tomorrow.
Tomorrow looks like it'll be okay.
Yeah. And
getting back, that might be a problem.
Well, as long as I can get my presentation done, we're good. I don't care. I can stay there till spring. But I got the snowshoes are in the car. We're good. I will be presenting tomorrow to what is known as UPEC, the Upper Peninsula Environmental Council. And that is where a lot of us like-minded people will be coming together to share what we know.
It's a constant battle, isn't it? I mean, because when you come in here, you talk about, you're always constantly keeping, trying to keep up to speed on what they're trying to accomplish. But again, it's like, you know, David and Goliath, the pea shooter against the big artillery. And again, it's unfair because, and again, there's, and during this program, I always talk about levels and layers. And there's so many layers to every story. And when you talk about this, there's the layer of money in politics. Of course, again, there's this layer after layer, and it has to be, you know, almost draining at times to try and keep up, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, I retired now almost a year ago, and, you know, not that I thought I was going to kick back and read romance novels or anything like that, but, you know, I find myself going to bed at night reading, you know, Wisconsin's NR 130 or Michigan's 632 laws, or, you know, you're constantly just immersed in reading all this, trying to learn as much as you can to try to stay ahead of them.
And the thing about that is I think that mining companies and other powerful, I'd call them special interests, they count on the fact that it's not easy, that we as human beings, especially those of us that aren't independently wealthy like a lot of those folks, have their jobs, have their lives, have their families, they count on the fact that it's sometimes difficult to keep up, don't they?
Yeah, but if you can find yourself a small group of interested citizens, let me tell you, you can go far, you can do great things.
Before we take a break, and we have some other issues I want to touch with you, kind of, again, to kind of broaden it out, do you get a chance to talk to the folks involved with the mines very often? Do you ever have an opportunity to give, you know, get some things off your chest to those folks, or are they just not interested?
Well, they're definitely not interested. I have had very brief encounters with several of the top mining people. But, yeah, they totally greenwash the situation. Oh, you know, like, the water will go back in cleaner than it came out. And it is something I watch really closely, especially as we move into more of a green economy. It can't be trading one dirty fuel for another.
So they're basically saying, hey, I got some magic beans here for you.
Pretty much.
We're going to make it even cleaner than it was before. It's miracles. I mean, just, you know.
Acid mine drainage does not sustain life, but neither does sterile water.
Oh, man. I mean, that's just, again, I just think it's fantastic how you are able to keep up to speed on some of these mining issues. Because I do think that sometimes it does slide under the radar in a lot of ways, and I'm glad to be able to put at least a little bit of a spotlight on that. We're going to take a quick timeout, but I want to talk to you about a couple of different things. Of course, I want to talk to you about this important Supreme Court race that's coming up sooner rather than later, but also I do want to talk about Walgreens, because when we were communicating, you added a line right at the end about Walgreens, and it's touched a nerve for you as well, and I think it's something that it's about courage, I think, as well. I think there's a lot of aspects, a lot of the issues we talk about sometimes may not be easy for some people, but sometimes you have to draw a line, even if you're a multi-billion-dollar corporation like Walgreens, to say this is the right thing to do. So I want to talk to you about that coming up as well. But first, we have to take a news break. We'll get a CBS News update, find out what's going on around the country, around the world, and then also a Civic Media News update as well. So glad you could join us. Nancy Stencil with me for another segment as we'll come back and talk more here on this Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people to make what life's about, yeah.
Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 2:33, overcast skies and 33 degrees in Wausau. Again, we are talking to Nancy Stensel. Nancy, I guess, real quickly, I know that I've been talking about this all week long, and I had Randy Rackey, and I know that you sent it to me as well, the information. It's important because the thing about, again, it's U.S. labor then and now tomorrow from 9 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. I've talked about this every day this week. UW-Stevens Point at Wausau, Center for Civic Engagement, Venega Theater. Dr. Michael Childers, UW-Madison School of Workers professor, will screen and lead discussions on six terrific labor films. 1877, The Grand Army of Starvation, The Bayview Massacre, Fistful of Lightning, Divided We Fall, A Day's Work, and Unions versus Amazon, a David and Goliath story. But something that I think we have to, I try to underline is the importance of knowing the history about, and I was talking to Randy, I've reread a book recently on the 1912 presidential election, and that was an unusual election because there were four major candidates, not just two. You had the Democratic candidate, Wilson, you had the Republican, William Howard Taft, who was the president, you had the Bull Moose and Teddy Roosevelt, and then you had the socialist in Eugene Debs. And in that book, it talked about Debs, who was a lifetime labor organizer and leader. It wasn't just the businesses that were smashing unions. It was government as well aiding those businesses. And I think that knowing where we've been aids in what we're trying to do here today, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you don't know your history, you're apt to repeat it. And, you know, for me, especially, you know, my involvement with unions, I'm now with the AFSCME retirees, and I'm also with DELU 24111. The importance is the worker to make sure the worker gets a fair benefit from it. And just, you know, knowing the history of how hard people worked to get that, right up to my own mother, who one of her first jobs out of high school back then was at Marathon Electric, and they were fired for trying to start a union. And, you know, years later, of course, she did go back there. They did form a union, and she went back. But just how hard other people fought for our rights, how can you let that go?
And the thing about it as well is, and I think we see it in what you're doing in terms of the mining issue and other issues, nothing occurs without effort. We can't just sit back and assume it's going to happen because everybody else will be pushing. If you go back 150 years, the peanuts that people were paid, the working conditions, there was never an 8-hour workday or 40-hour work week until
the unions. It still happens today.
You're right.
You look at many of the major manufacturers in this area, and I don't mean to pick on anybody, but I'll use 3M as an example where, you know, they're saying, well, you know, you guys need to compromise on this contract. We can't afford to give you this because look at how they're coming after us for clean air violations, and we're having to spend all that money on those clean air violations.
Isn't that amazing?
You made $38 billion last year.
Isn't that amazing that they want the workers to pay for their dirty air?
Well, they're not only paying for the dirty air, then they're getting slapped again if the EPA comes in, because what is that? That's your tax dollars, so talk about a company double dipping to get the worker to pay for stuff.
So I think if you have an opportunity tomorrow, head on over to UW Stevens Point at Wausau.
Yes.
And again, it's from 9 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. If you can't make it at right at 9 o'clock, you can definitely join in during the course of it. If you have something else going on later in the afternoon, you can obviously, come in early and watch it, because it's going to be it's not only going to be educational, but it's going to be fun because
it is. It's a great time. And, you know, come for a little bit, come for all of it. I guarantee you'll walk away learning something.
Exactly. And again, we're talking to Nancy Stensel here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's touch on the Walgreens issue. Because obviously, because I was communicating with you and you threw that in. You just threw that at the very end. Obviously, it's hit a nerve. What specifically has really got the blood flowing with this issue? Because there's a number, as I said before, layers. There are layers to this, isn't there?
There definitely is. I understand that to some degree, Walgreens' hands are tied if a state law prohibits them from doing something. But you need to have the guts as a corporation to stand up and say, we don't believe in this. And if we could get some of these corporations, these big entities, to stand up, I mean, all this is about controlling women's bodies.
And again, just to underline what this issue is about, of course, in many states, including Wisconsin now, since last summer, abortion has been made illegal. But it's not just Wisconsin. There's states around the country. And there are other states around the country where abortion is illegal right now that does not have a Democratic attorney general like Wisconsin does. And these Republican attorney generals have been sending out letters to Walgreens saying that certain medications that were prescribed by doctors, you cannot be selling anymore. And
every day, I'm so thankful we have Josh call in our realm for help. But it is control of women's bodies. Nothing more, nothing less.
And how, again, I mean, I don't understand how, again, I can understand how men vote for some of these people because they got women in their lives, and obviously, but for women themselves, who it is their bodies, it's their lives.
I always say, until it happens to you, and it's not just in a case of a rape or something like that, there can be an ectopic pregnancy, there can be something that goes very wrong with the pregnancy that you wanted very badly, the way the laws are set up now, you could die rather than...
Some of these stories are infuriating, and that's not the word that should be used, because that's not a strong enough word.
Exactly.
Literally, some of these stories that we're reading about is disgusting what these men are doing. These attorney generals and these states and these governors that... And the thing about it is, as well, this isn't about women in their minds. This is about power. That's all it is, isn't it?
That's
power.
All it is about is power. And even the other day, you know, I had attended a luncheon for the American Association for University Women. And I look around that table. There's several women that are probably within 10 years older than me. And there again, the same as labor. I look at how hard those women fought so that I had the rights I do. And now I'm looking, and my own daughter does not have the rights that I grew up with? That's not right.
It's 2023.
Yeah.
What's it going to take? Because that's the thing that kind of baffles me, because last November there was an election, and people said, oh, yeah, that issue helped Tony Evers get reelected. It may have helped Mandela Barnes get close, but the idea that even with that issue where rights are being taken away, this state, which is, I think, not what you call, you know, the reddest red state, says some of these Republicans, yet we still elected a guy like Ron Johnson. What's it going to take
for us to get a...
Yeah, but I mean it. I mean, really, it's like one of those things where you think at a certain point, there's certain, again, historically, I love history, and I know there's certain points in history where things changed, you know, and I think, you know, some of these films talk about the late 19th century, early 20th century, that led to a change where there was a progressive wave in this country. And then we went back to a conservative wave. Then the Great Depression occurred, and that led to a progressive wave because we had needed an active government. But we have these waves. It hasn't really been the wave yet.
I know. I keep wondering, too, how bad does it have to get?
Right.
And I look at, you know, even this last election, Mandela, just such a stellar candidate, a terrific guy, you know, running against, you know, and...
Running against perhaps the worst senator in the country.
Exactly.
I mean, there's some bad ones, but he's in that group.
Even locally, you know, like for the 29th Senate District, you know, after Jerry retired and all... he's probably shaking his head in disbelief, too, because I look at people like Bob Look and Brent Jacobson, both just really great people in our community, either one of them, even though, you know, Brent kind of identifies more Republican, he's more moderate, at least you can talk to him, he's a nice guy, and look what we get.
I know. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think there's an answer yet. And also, I would like to see a little more, And I know that the process that the Attorney General is going through and other things where there takes time, but at the same time, it feels like, well, this has been since last summer. I mean, we're coming up on a year where this state is under an abortion ban from 1849. When, I guess I'm thinking I'm ready for some action.
I agree. So am I. It literally terrifies me every day, you know, and it's, you know, we have Governor Evers, we have Josh Call, but then you look at who they have to play with at the table.
2/3 of each house. I mean, that's just, it's,
yeah. How do you get anything passed? It's, yeah.
Well, and one way to change the 2/3 in both the state Senate and the state assembly is to change the maps. And that, of course, leads to what's going to happen the first Tuesday of April.
Yes.
April the 4th. And this election. And again, when you have these off-year elections, there's always that worry about turnout, especially for progressives, because there's this theory, and I don't know whether it's true or not, that all these people that are like 85 years old that watch Fox News all the time, the only thing they have to do is go and vote.
Yeah, right. And sadly, they seem to remember that day.
And that it's a little more difficult for progressives to get everybody that identifies with them politically to get out and vote in an April of 2023 election. So I imagine that is huge.
We are trying between Citizen Action and the Fair Maps people. I'll be doing doors for Citizen Action. Fair Maps sent us over 1,000 postcards. And we did have, I think the last time I was on here, we talked about it. We had a little conference here in town by them. And so we already have that 1,000 postcards out there to people that, for the most part, will vote in like a presidential election, but not so much when it comes to a smaller election. And yet this one here is such an important election. And then I also have postcards from the AFL-CIO. I got 500 of them. What day are we on? It's Thursday. I got them on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And those are out there being distributed right now from another organization. We had 400 postcards. So by the time we're done, we'll have almost 2,000 postcards out there, and handwritten postcards.
And the interesting thing about this race is there is such, I mean, you talk about a choice where there are just two completely different visions. There is no doubt about where Janet Protasiewicz stands and where Dan Kelly stands. I mean, this is a true, I think, litmus test for Wisconsin. And I think not only is it important to get Judge Janet elected, but I think this would be one where you'd like to see a pretty good margin.
Yes.
I think we're working hard for it. I think this is one that, yes, obviously the biggest thing is to win. But I think in order to say where we are right now in this state, Dan Kelly lost by a big margin 3 years ago. I think he has to lose by at least that much this time around to show, hey, and show, I think, as well, those Republicans in the state legislature where this state is, in a sense, for maybe them to pivot just a little bit in order to get a few more things that we would consider important.
And that's why we need the fair maps, because we're not being represented.
Yes.
The vast majority of the people here, and we find on both sides of the aisle, I don't care if you are Democrat or you are Republican, you are not being represented. The fringe is what, the right fringe is what is making your laws.
It's interesting. It's going to be so interesting.
Yeah.
I really am curious to see where this state is right now, because I do think that this state needs to make a statement.
Right.
To be honest.
And I really do respect Judge Janet too, because, you know, on some things, you know, she'll say, I'm not going to answer that because if this comes up, I'm not going to have to recuse myself.
Right.
And at first I thought, an answer for me or not, but studying it a little further, I did understand that line better.
The good thing is she has been very forceful about her values, and that's very,
very much. She comes forward, my values say, and that's what I want to know.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Did you have fun again?
Yes, I did.
Nancy Stensel, we'll get you back on them real soon. So thanks for popping on over. We'll take a quick time out and come right back here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. The Newman Catholic High School boys basketball team looks to punch their ticket to the state tournament in Madison on Saturday when they take on Gibraltar in a Division V sectional final. Hear all the exciting action live on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Starting with the pregame show at 12:40 p.m. and the opening tip at 1. Newman Catholic High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Clover Belt Credit Union, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Carney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, and Sun Printing. It's Newman Catholic taking on Gibraltar with a trip to the state tournament on the line in a Division V sectional final. Saturday, starting with the pregame show at 12:40 p.m. and the opening tip at 1. Live on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. At BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Nancy Stenzel for coming in. And as I said to her as she was leaving during the break, sometimes it's just good to put it right out there. And she does that so very well. Just to, and she said, even more, but no, she just absolutely is keeping an eye on such very important issues. Not only here in central Wisconsin, but throughout the state and the country as well. And, of course, we're kind of getting closer and closer. April the 4th, of course, big election for that state Supreme Court seat. And the thing about it, when you look ahead, let's for argument's sake, say that Janet Protasiewicz is able to earn the win in that election and that the left-leaning justices have a 4-3 majority, and they do allow lawsuits that deal with the gerrymandered lines, deal with the 1849 abortion ban. The thing about it is, if they decide that the current lines in Wisconsin for the congressional districts and the state Senate districts and the state assembly districts are gerrymandered and not fair, and they aren't. I mean, you go back to when you had the hearings on these lines, the only person that spoke in favor of them was Robin Voss. Nobody else did. Nobody else did. And the thing is, if you overturn them, that doesn't mean you're going to have gerrymandered maps for the Democrats. That's not the point. We want fair maps. We want an opportunity in a 50-50 state to have an opportunity to win the fair share of the state Senate and state assembly seats and the congressional seats as well. That's it. And the idea that unfair maps is somehow constitutional is such a fallacy. You talk about the original intent of the Constitution of both the United States of America and the state of Wisconsin. That was not part of it. All these constitutional conservatives that constantly are able to argue in favor of unfair gerrymandered maps. So again, not looking to have it turned on its head where you have unfair maps on the other side. You're looking for an opportunity with a 4-3 majority in the state Supreme Court on the left to have opportunity for fairness on the maps, to have an opportunity for fairness when it comes to the 1849 abortion ban, and for fairness in so many other issues coming in front of the state Supreme Court. So again, make sure if you haven't already, get out there, register and be ready to vote on April the 4th. And also make sure on April the 4th, looking forward to it, we again will have wall-to-wall coverage of election night on Civic Media. And it's something that we are so proud of in the early days here of Civic Media. going back to last November in our coverage of the midterm elections, going back to the coverage of the primary here just a few weeks ago. And again, we will have complete team coverage. I'll be here in Wausau keeping an eye on, of course, our school board race and other races here in central Wisconsin, in addition to the state Supreme Court race. And again, when you vote on the 4th of April, make sure you tune in the 4th of April as well for complete election night coverage throughout the state of Wisconsin here on Civic Media and Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Coming up in the second hour, we have more snow coming in. We're going to find out about what to expect weather-wise at 3:06 with Ray Miller, our weatherology.com meteorologist. Then at 3:15, we'll be joined by Paul Micklick. We're going to lighten things up a little bit. We'll talk about Wisconsin sports, and maybe not so light. the Badgers struggling, obviously, on the hardwood. So we'll talk some Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklick at 3:15. Joins us once a week to talk about sports. And speaking of sports, tomorrow, an opportunity for the Newman Catholic High School boys basketball team to earn their first ever WIAA state tournament appearance. And the Cardinals in a sectional final, they'll take on Gibraltar. It's a game that will be played. My mind blanks again. Seymour High School. It was originally scheduled to be played in Rhinelander, but they changed it to Seymour, and they've also changed the time. It was originally supposed to be a 2 p.m. tip-off. It's now a 1 p.m. tip-off. So Newman against Gibraltar at Seymour High School. You can hear the game live right here. I'll be over in Seymour tomorrow, 12:40 airtime, 1 o'clock tip-off, here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Looking forward to it. It should be a huge crowd. There should be a lot of energy and a chance for Newman, who was so impressive last night in a 21-point win over Pacelli in a game that we had here on Bull Falls Radio. But tomorrow, all the chips on the line, try to get down to state and make that appearance at the Kohl Center next week. We'll take a quick timeout, have our CBS News at the top of the hour, then come back and talk to Ray Miller as we continue the final hour of the work week. Glad you could spend part of it here with me. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app.
Call me a joker. Call me a fool.